Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Mox and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Everybody loves somebody sometimes. Yes, indeedy. It's another week, and boy, has it gone by. Yes, indeedy, folks. This is Mellow Yellow Jello coming to you from Northern California, feeling just fine. Yeah. And guess who we have on the show tonight, folks? We got my wingman, the rock star himself. That's right. Mr. Rocky, the bear wrestler. He's with us tonight, folks. We also have our own man of clergy, Mr. Father Ray. He's here to impart some biblical stories with us and tell us what it's all about. And mainly, I want to tell you, the beard of knowledge, folks, is with us tonight. As always, he's like that stone that you kick down the street as you're walking. And he's been kicking that stone for many, many years because he's trying to find out what's on the other side. But he'll find it someday. The beard of knowledge, that's right. The Swede is with us tonight, folks. We got so much encompassing to talk about. I'm not going to talk about any current events because I don't want to be negative, folks. I want to talk about upbeat things. I want to talk about love. When was the last time, Rocky, we talked about love? Do you remember?
No, Tom, I really don't.
It's been a long time, hasn't it, brother? A long time.
Yeah.
The Yellow, Yellow, Jello has talked about those four lovely letters, L-O-V-E, folks, which you people I know talk about it constantly. Well, screw that, too. I ain't talking about love. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Bigfoot. I want to talk about the thing that travels the world. I want to talk about the thing that has made people so inquisitive for more than 800 years now, maybe more. Father Ray called me up earlier this evening. I want to share this. Hope you don't get mad, Father Ray. But I'm going to share it with the people around the globe. Hope you got your ears on, everybody. Father Ray calls me up and he says, Tom? I says, yes. He says, Tom. I says, yes, Father Ray. And then he goes into one of his soliloquies. If you know Ray, he gets that way, you know. He does that every time he gets a little hungry. Hungry. Father Ray gets hungry, you know. And then when he tips into that wine at the altar, he says, did you know that people are really going crazy about Bigfoot? I says, pray tell, tell me, talk to me. How do you know this? He says, well, I went in this town in New Mexico, and then I was going down the freeway, and I saw stickers on people's cars. Wow. I says, you mean after all these years that you've known us and all these years we've been together, this is the first time you saw stickers on cars of Bigfoot and Sasquatch? He says, well, maybe, but not really, because I'm just seeing it more often now. And he asked me, he opposed me with this question. He says, why do you think that is? I says, well, maybe, Father Ray, people have been hooked up and had cabin fever because they couldn't go nowhere. And maybe because it's hunting season now, people are going out. And they're seeing the creature, hearing about the creature, being proud that they're looking for the creature. So without further ado, I think what we need to do is bring Father Ray aboard and have him talk about why there's so many stickers about Bigfoot. Are you out there from New Mexico, Mr. Father Ray?
I am here. Yes,
so,
I am here.
Now, am I telling the truth or did I leave something out?
No, no. Now, I have been seeing many stickers on car windows, back windows. I made a stop today in a truck stop, and there was a display, and you could buy Bigfoot stickers. And interestingly enough, these stickers that you see, some of them, they show the silhouette of the Bigfoot, and the Zia sun symbol, which is the symbol for the state of New Mexico, on it, and it's interesting, and I think you are correct in your thought about people having been cooped up because of the coronavirus, and now they're getting out and going hunting, going into the great outdoors, and hearing stories, maybe seeing evidence of the creature, maybe having seen the creature. And so there's now also I don't know who were the owners of said vehicles. I've seen a man on I've met people wearing like T-shirts with Bigfoot on it, and saying, I believe. I've spoken to
I believe in every stop that rains upon, a flower grows.
Yes.
I have that thought
on the shelf just for a second. I'm feeling righteous right now while the ray please. And then by doing that, I'd like to bring the beard of knowledge in on right at this point in time, all the way from the great state of Arkansas, the Swede. Swede, are you out there?
I am, Tom.
Well, how are you tonight?
Tom, great. It's a beautiful night. Had a little temperature drop, and great night to talk about Bigfoot.
That's wonderful. Before you get into that, would you be kind enough, because I got two emails here wanting to know. Leo McArdle is one, and he says, did the Swede and Rocky go out and nab them some deer last week? You were going to have them on. Well, before we tell anybody, I got to tell you this other person's name. Her name is Cambria, C-A-M-B-R-I-A. She's outside of Sacramento. I think she's become a personal fan of yours, Swede. And she says, if I go to Arkansas, will the Swede invite me out with him when he goes hunting? Well, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to pose that question, Cambria, to the Swede right now, and he'll tell you, because I'm sure you'll write back because you're listening. You got your ears on. What would you say to that, to Cambria, Swede?
Well, that'd be pretty good if you could talk my wife out of letting getting into her seat in my deer stand. That would be the issue.
Well, Cambria, I hope you've got that loud and clear. So, in other words, until Mama says it's okay, you can't go. But look what she writes back. She says, "Well, what about Rockstar? Hold on, let me put you on hold there, Swede. Rockstar, what's your answer?"
Well, you know, I've been married for 48 years. I'm an old scutter. You probably wouldn't want to sit in the tree stand with me.
Cambria, so I guess you got your answer from the old two trail boys with boots on the ground. No, stay home. They don't want you, man. This is boys
okay,
night out.
We got Doyle on the line too.
Oh,
nice. You might want to talk to him.
Okay, Doyle, are you out there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And
how
are
you feeling
Cambria,
these days?
I'm kicking. You know, another day above ground's a good day, Tom.
What'd you have for dinner tonight?
Actually, have a little. Actually, it's going to be a light supper, and I'm going to have a homemade chicken salad sandwich.
A homemade chicken salad sandwich. Does that mean that's chicken that's left over, cut up? They put it in mayonnaise, some celery, maybe onions. Slap it on two pieces of white bread and you eat it?
You got it.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen,
actually,
I got to tell you something. For the first time ever in my life, down where he's from, and all those states that are mixed up, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, it was the first time I ever heard about eating something called canned meat. Never had a potted meat. They called it potted meat. You guys just want a potted meat sandwich? What the hell is a potted meat sandwich? Okay. So I had it. I try anything once. You know that. Okay. And go to find out that was a very prevalent dinner back in the early days down in that neck of the woods. And the ones that had potted meat was some people that was a delicacy. They didn't have anything else. They're so used to eating off the land. When was the first time you had potted meat, Doyle?
Oh, I think probably I cut my teeth on a can of it.
Did you really?
Oh, I've loved potted meat all these years. Then I finally found out what all was in it, but it tastes so good, I have to continue to eat it.
You know, there's a fellow Bigfoot hunter out there who introduced me to it, and he's from down there in Enterprise, Alabama, Chuck Creel. You all know him, Mr. Our resident drunk. And he's a hell of a cook, a great, great, great host when he hosts our team when we're down there. But he's the one that introduced me to the potted, and I said, potted meat, man. I never knew what it was. Well, he introduced me to it, and I got to tell you, it was. And I look, my sentiments right after you, Doyle. I thought it was pretty damn good. So let me put you on hold for a second, son, because everybody now. Romy just said.
Hey, Tom. Tom, if you don't mind, could I address Cambria real quick?
Sure.
Cambria, come on down to Kentucky, honey. You got a place in my stand.
Ooh, wait a minute. Cambria, in case you didn't hear that, because sometimes he gets muffled out, Doyle says you got a chair in his ear stand anytime you want to come down. And
I'll just call her Cam whenever I talk to my baby mama. I'll just say I'm taking Cam hunting tonight.
Ooh, did you hear that? I think we're listening to Jerry Springer here, folks, tonight. My mom, I love it.
In fact, I've got a nephew that lives up in Chico there in California. He owns a goat farm up there. Former military veteran, four-time Purple Heart winner. And he's got one of the nicest RVs I've ever had the pleasure of stepping foot in. He comes here regularly. So hook up with us. I'll give you his number, and you can ride in with him.
Well, that'd be beautiful. So he didn't duck four times in a row, and he got wounded?
Well, actually, he was shot once, blew up twice, and hit in the head with a forklift once.
So I was pretty close, didn't I? He forgot to duck.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Cambria's writing right now. Just Tom, tell Doyle, when does he want me down there, and I'll be there. Whoa. Cambria, I love it.
We'll
so
call
now,
it today.
You better tell your baby's mama that she's coming, though. That's a long
trip.
Well,
like I said, I'm taking Cam, not Cambria. I'm taking Cam.
I get it. I get it. All right, so listen. Let me stop everybody right now because, one, we're going to have to go to commercial, and on the other side of the commercial, I'd like to hear from the Swede, and he's going to tell us about his excursion over this past 7 days because everybody's blowing up over here wanting to know, did they get what they went out for? And I'm talking about the last few work here. This person, this is off to you, my dear co-star. And this person says, please don't mention my name. His name is Jim. Screw you, pal. So his name is Jim, and he said, when he departed on the show, he says that he's going to go out and fill up his freezers, him and the Swede. All right. Well, they're going to tell the whole story. So, Rockstar, why don't we go to commercial? On the other side of the commercial, we'll bring you and the Swede on, and you tell everybody, don't leave nothing out, what happened. Let's go to commercial. Let's pay some bills.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Thank you.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Yes, indeed, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've been listening and had your ears on, and those of you just popping in right now, this has been an interesting show. I tell you, everybody wants to know what's happened in the last 7 days since the rock star and the beard of knowledge went out there trying to harvest some game for their freezers. So let's get the Swede story first, and then we'll TO it to Mr. Rockstar himself, Rocky, after. Tell us everything, Mr. Swede.
Well, it kind of all starts with a little preparation. So I've been watching the Bambis going in a certain area. I've been going back and forth like a highway. You know how they do. And wasn't really anywhere there to get any cover. So I built a hasty deer stand. So Rocky, I told Rocky you need to come out and hunt. So I built a hasty deer stand with a nice roof, waterproof, lots of cow poop around, all that good stuff. You know, got to have the cow poop around for camouflage. But anyways, nice and enclosed and a nice rest to shoot from, and just all the stars were aligning. He come out, we walked around a little bit, did more visiting than looking around. But anyway, we had a plan. I guess it was Sunday. I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess it was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. Rocky come over and stayed after he got off work. He come over and stayed at our house, and of course me and Rocky stayed up and talked a bunch of big lies, you know, until we got so tired we couldn't keep our eyes open no more. So I went on to sleep and seemed like it was no time. It was time to go out there. So Rocky got into his tree, into his, not a tree, it's a ground blind, but he got in his ground blind. I went on down the way there and got up in my tree stand. So I'm gonna let Rocky take you on his little expedition, and I'll tell you mine. Go ahead, Rocky, tell him about it.
Okay, what happened was we got out there and the dog box. I thought somebody's at the house. Okay. I got out there on my tree stand, and I was being all diligent and everything. Wasn't anything going to get by me. I leaned forward and looked out through my stand. The damn crow almost hit me in the face. And then I had a whole bunch of birds land on top of my stand, danced around and made pretty music, and my butt froze to the chair, and I did not see anything other than stuff that I wasn't going to shoot and eat. I thought of some way that I might be able to get away with shooting the horse Peanut and telling Robert that I thought it was a deer, but I didn't see any way that I could convince him, so I let it go. And then I spent the rest of the time at the emergency room with my mom. So, but. My son called this morning and said, he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm not doing anything. And he said, well, I'm on my way to the, I'm taking my two deers in. And I said, two deers? He said, yeah, I got a good buck and I got a great buck. And so For my part, I was supposed to be out there today, but because of I was having to deal with Mom, I wasn't able to make it. But the weekend is coming, and I'm going to be right back out there, and we'll just go from there. But so far, no luck.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. You got this weekend. Doyle, are you still out there?
I'm always here, Tom. Go ahead.
All right. I want you to listen now. This just came from your newfound friend, Cambria, and she said, please make sure that Rocky and the Swede's ears are on, and please read this to them. This comes from Cambria, Rocky and Swede. Man thinks he has the power, but he is not aware that the power comes from the socket, not the plug. Cambria. Get the message, boys?
I love it, Cambria.
You got spunk, girl. Whoa.
Hey, let me tell you what. She is the guarder of the gate. I'll tell you that much.
She wanted to make sure you were listening, Doyle. I mean, this chick's got some... And then she said, underneath it, it's the electrical engineer's logic. Man thinks he has the power, but he is not aware that the power comes from the socket, not the plug. Oh, my gosh. What do you say to that, Steve?
Well, that's the way the power flows, man.
Did you hear that, Cambria? That's the way the power flows. Rocky, what do you say?
In my case, the power has been coming from the socket for 48 years. And so, you know, no argument.
You know, I don't know if I should do this or not, but she sent her picture with that saying. Do you want me to send it to you, Doyle?
Absolutely.
Now listen, I don't want to create any problems.
I'll tell you right now, I have tried a lot of sockets in my life, and I've only found a few that could charge my battery.
Well, you got this woman's dander up, boys. I got to tell you, you got her dander up.
I'm just here to tell you, I got to warn her that I'm a true southeastern Kentucky gentleman, and I'm like Colonel Harlan Sanders. You know, I please the world, and I have to warn her right now. I am one handsome, debonair some bitch.
That I can guarantee that, Cambria. Oh, she just wrote back. Hold on. Oh, I can't say this, Cambria. I'd like to. I'm going to say it. Fuck it. So, Doyle, this is what she says. She says, I'll leave tomorrow morning if you're ready for me. But you think you can handle it?
Well, let me tell you what. Let me clear one of my rental properties so I'll have a place to put her.
You know, this is becoming a dating channel here. I can't believe it.
Oh, hell. Just hell with it. I've got a friend that owns a hotel chain over in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. I'll just put her up there for free.
Oh, man, don't go starting this shit, Doyle, because, oh, my God, are you serious? She's right back. Hold on. She heard you. She says, how long do you want me to stay? She says, I'm yours. That's all she said at the end. I'm yours, Doyle.
Oh, flattery is great. I'll have to just tell her, give her my number, and I'll have to talk to her then.
Listen, she'll have to get it through Rocky. I ain't going to start any bullshit. Next thing I know, your wife's going to be calling my ass, putting my ass away. I ain't going for that shit. You ask Rocky to do that. Hey, Cambria, shut up for a while here now, because I got to, even though you sent this seductive picture and all this crazy words, I got to get back to our show now. I'm not going to talk about you no more, Cambria. Swede, let me ask you a question, son.
Mister.
What do you think is going to happen between now and Christmas time with our Bigfoot friends?
Well, that's hard to say, Tom. Signs are real good out there in the woods. That's something me and Rocky talked about. The nut trees are loaded down with acorns and all of that. The deer are stirring around good. There's lots of stuff to eat in our neck of the woods, although we didn't do any good shooting. The closest thing we got to protein was with my wife making us some tremendous spam and egg and cheese sandwiches when we got back from hunting. I wanted to put that out
there. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast of champions.
Yeah. I love that. Did you guys hear that? I hope everybody around the globe's got their ears on. So what the Swede just said, he just imparted some beautiful breakfast that they serve there in Arkansas by his lovely bride. And they fry up some spam. They cut it up nice, chunks, maybe little dice pieces. They add scrambled eggs in it. And then they put some cheese. You put that, slap that into some nice biscuits or white bread. And, oh, my God. You think you died and went to heaven. And I've got to tell you, the time I had that, and I thought it was phenomenal.
It is good, Tom. You know that's right. And you know what? That's a real nice thing to have after you come off the deer stand when it's cold and you get a little bit, especially when you didn't get to shoot a deer. It's kind of disappointing. But it was really good to hang out with my buddy Rocky, and we hadn't had a chance to go for just there's been so much going on in the COVID thing and all just work and everything else. So even if it's more about the trip than it was to killing, but we'll get plenty of time for killing. You know how we are. We like that.
Oh, I guarantee you. That I know for a fact. You know, something came up. This guy's name is James Woolery, and he's asked, the question is to you, Swede. He says, have you ever had or do you know how to make venison chili? And he said he went to a friend's house, and he says he had the strap of the venison, and he said he put that meat in there, ground it up, put it in there in that venison. He said it was the best chili he ever had in his life. Have you ever had that?
Well, you know, Doyle was talking about he cut his teeth on a spam can, on a potted meat can. Well, I was using that potted meat can to cut my deer meat up to make deer chili.
You're kidding.
So, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a mainstay around here.
Oh, yeah. The first deer I ever killed, I don't know, I was very young. I was single digits in years. And that's what we did with that first deer. The first meal we made was deer chili. And I had already ate it before then. That's a mainstay around here, Tom. That's just some good stuff. You can't go wrong with deer chili. That's like the rite of passage in every winter. If you don't have it, you're missing out on something. It's like skipping Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but he says to me, Tom, he says, the way this guy chopped this stuff up, and he said it was the strap of the deer, which I guess is like a fillet. Is that not true?
Yeah, tenderloin. Back
tenderloin, trap. Okay, and he said he put tomatoes in there.
Sure, all of it, all the goodies
and onions. Yeah. And he said he let it cook for like 4 or 5 hours. He said the meat was so tender, it was the best chili he ever had in his life.
Yes, sir. That's the way you do it. A lot of people use the tenderloin like that, but I like to grind. You know, a lot of people we grind some of ours up too. You know, we'll run it through a meat grinder, you can make deer burger and save that tenderloin strap for the grill, you know, with bacon wrap around it, you know, like a fillet. But the inner loin is the bomb.
Yeah,
that's
bomb.
So my wife
makes
a recipe for anybody.
Wait. Doyle wants to put his two. Go ahead, Doyle, tell us.
I'll tell you what. Here's something that's wonderful. If you can get a tenderloin strap from a deer, cut that thing up into small pieces, fry it in the pan with olive oil and Granny Smith apples. Make you some homemade biscuits and gravy on the side with that. You won't be able to sit still and eat it. Your tongue will beat the top of your mouth to death.
Have you had that
my
yet,
wife, I have not.
Oh, yeah.
My wife makes me deer chili. She makes deer spaghetti. She makes deer lasagna. I mean, she just makes everything that's makeable out of deer meat. We still got
meatloaf.
Makes
a pretty good meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Venison meatloaf is really good too, with green peppers and onions and tomatoes.
Ladies and gentlemen out there, I hope you guys have got your ears on, because I'll tell you what, these are some great recipes. I can't wait. I'm trying to think over here and where I'm at, where I can get somebody who's got any deer. I'm sure they've got some somewhere. I can call around, and I want to try this deer chili, man. I mean, it sounds
all right. You
Tom, you're out there where you can get a hold of some elk. You said elk.
Yeah.
Man, get elk. That makes great chili too.
Better than
you remember when we went to. You remember when we went to Mammoth Springs?
Yeah.
We ate deer chili that first night.
Did we really?
Yeah. Huh.
I just can't remember.
I brought the deer and Jim James. What, I can't remember his name.
It's no wonder you don't remember, Tom. You'd only drove 2,200 miles.
You know, I gotta tell you, my mouth is just watering it up for this damn chili shit. So you're saying elk chili is even better?
I don't know if
it's
any
better,
but
it's really good.
But it's good. I mean, deer chili is just the bomb. It's just something about that deer chili flavor, gold nose. All of us boys have had that stuff since we were little kids. You know, it was a mainstay. And it was cheap eats, you know. That was, you know, fed the family off the grounds, you know, around us. Deer season wasn't just to go kill deer. It was to fill the freezer. Still is for a lot of people.
Wait a minute. Doyle, come back at us and tell us what you did with the, you said Granny Smith apples with the deer?
Yes, sir. And I was introduced to this by my baby mama's uncle. And I've had deer in every form or fashion you could eat it. Chilies, spaghettis, lasagnas, just anything Rossi said. I've had it. But I never had it fried in a pan with Granny Smith apples. That don't work with like wine crisp apples or anything like that. It has to be the green sour Granny Smith apples. And you have to fry it in olive oil. And like I said, you make biscuits and gravy on the side. And preferably cathead biscuits. Does everybody know what cathead biscuits are?
I don't.
Yes, I would.
Except, hey, beard of knowledge, Robert, tell them what a cathead biscuit is.
Well, a cathead biscuit is kind of a hands-free biscuit. And it doesn't make the biscuit tough because you're not messing around with it too much. You mix your batter up just enough to combine your liquid and your flour, and then you just spoon it out and kind of drop it into the pan instead of wadding it around and making a real nice biscuit and building all the gluten, which makes your biscuit tough. A cathead biscuit is light, fluffy, and if it could, it would float.
Yeah, and you put a lot of flour in it, and powdery. It's just got a unique flavor. But cathead biscuit with the gravy made from the stock of the deer, and you use that meat just like you would sausage gravy or, you know, whatever, chicken gravy, however you make your gravy. Just use the runoff from the deer to make your gravy, and which I always like to add a little sausage to my gravy. And it just takes gravy's a hard thing to master, believe it or not. But I'm telling you, until you've tried this, it's wonderful. And those apples are a perfect complement to the meat.
So what's it? Do the apples fry up meat?
I'm sorry?
Do the apples fry up with the meat in the olive oil?
Yes.
And do they render down to nothing?
No, you fry them with the meat, and by the time the meat's done, then the apples are also perfectly seared.
Oh, I see. I see what you're talking about. You know,
see those Granny Smiths, Tom, they don't break down. They're tough. That's like pie apple, you know. That's a standard pie apple.
That's right.
It's a toughie. It don't cook down to mush like a Golden or a Red Delicious. You know, it stays pretty stiff.
Right, right.
You gotta have your dentures in tight to bite down on a Granny Smith apple and take a bite out of it. It's tough. It's hard.
Listen, not to be cutting in on anybody right now. Cromie said, "Hey Tom, you guys said that Father Ray was going to bring us up to date with the Department of Agriculture on what you guys have talked about the last 2 weeks. Father Ray,
yeah, yeah.
What did you find out about that?"
I'm here. I didn't find out much, but I did find out that because I did reach out to them. I went to the website and sent an email asking for this particular man, Todd Gagliani, to come on our show. Didn't get any response for a couple of days. So I tried again. I went back to the website and I found a section of the website where you can ask for this man to come to your school. So I tried putting an email in there asking him to come on our show. Did not get any response as of yet. But in reading through the website a little bit more, it just said that this Mystical Wildlife Division is a part of U.S. Forestry, which is under the Department of Agriculture, and they and it has been established, and they've been carrying on covert activities quietly, been looking into such phenomena as Bigfoot, and they've been trying to keep this quiet because of apparently they don't want to cause fear and panic in the general population. But I'm just looking at a page I ran off, United States Department of Agriculture, Mythical Wildlife Division. But now that they're saying that, you know, they're saying, yep, we've been investigating these things, and it does seem that there's a definite we're not dismissing it. We're not casting it out of hand and saying absolutely not, no possibility of it. So that's what I've discovered in that regard. I've also looked into UFOs. Looking into unidentified projectiles, and again, the government seems to be saying nope. Alternative other life forms, other intelligent life. It seems that before, where it was poo-pooed and you were looked on as off half a bubble for believing in these things. Now they're saying, yeah, it seems that there may be extraterrestrial life. Okay. We've got to get a plane. We've got to get out and check. But previously anyone who suggested that there was something, they would be absolutely not. Forget that Roswell. No, that was a weather balloon that came out of the sky. And there's always a logical explanation for these things. And it seems now what their representative is saying is Yep. Intelligent life form. So that is what I found out. That's what I have to report. There is. I'll continue to look into it and continue to try to get this man, Mr. Todd Cogliano, who I did watch a video of him giving a presentation to a group of school children. See if I can get him or a representative to come on our Bigfoot show. And that's my report on that.
Okay, all right. So Lisa states, Father Ray, you were breaking up or you were stuttering. I don't know which it was. So the bottom line is from last week and the week before till today, we haven't found anything out.
Yes.
So that's the bottom line.
Bottom line, I've reached out. They have not reached that out back to me to get a representative on our show. But they except to say, yep, this website is saying, yes, it is a part of U.S. Forestry Division. That it has been in existence for years, but they've been carrying on their activities very covertly and quietly, and now they're beginning to say, you know, it's probable that there is such a creature as Bigfoot.
But, you know, it's kind of like the story about the UFOs and everything, and our government knew all about it, folks. This is just my opinion, one man's opinion on this, and then all of a sudden. The government got sued, the states got sued by individuals, corporations, companies that thought they knew more than what they were supposed to know, and to open up these files that have been closed all these years. Well, I think that's what's going on now, folks. I really do believe that. And so now that they've been, you know, there's been so many people out there with you know, boots on the ground and seeing it for themselves. And my God, there's got to be, I don't know, 8, 10, 11,000 sightings. They're saying there's something to it. And now we're going to come through since we've had this stuff, you know, under wraps. And people are demanding, hey, what's going on? And we need to know now. And I don't blame it. I think it's really happening, guys. I think it's to all these people that have say-sos and minds of their own. I think exactly that's what's coming down. And you know what? I'm glad to see it. I really am. Because now the big point of it is hey, who's the next person to make this thing really happen? Okay? That's the key. That's the real key here. So, I don't know. I'm not the one to say. I can just tell you this, that, hey, you know, it is what it is. So, if we can, Father Ray, if you've been stumped, I think what we need to do is go to the Department of Agriculture now and take
all
the
right.
Department of Agriculture, and that's their boss. And say that, hey, we'd like to have somebody and lean on them. Let's see what would happen, okay?
Okay.
And we'll go from there. You know, now's the time, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we got about another 11 minutes left. I want to hear from my co-host. His mom hasn't been doing too good, but God rest him. God's been good to everybody, and she's still with us. What's going on in that department, Rockstar?
Well, I took her to the hospital, the emergency room. They scanned her head, and they said that, yeah, she had a big pump knot on it, and she had a pretty good shiner. It was turning pretty purple. that they said that the skull was too thick to do much damage. And she had a little fracture in her wrist. And so we got that all splinted up and everything. And then me and her sit there for 4 hours waiting for the ambulance to take us back to her place. And she's doing quite well. She's just one of those things, you know, 92 years old and bouncing off of concrete. Doesn't work out like it used to. But other than that, she seems to be just bouncing right back.
God love her. God love her. Our prayers will go out to her, and I'm sure Father Ray will continue to pray as he does every day for her and everyone else in this world. And it doesn't go unnoticed. It really doesn't. Let's find out what's going on down there in Colonel Sanders' area. Why don't you talk to us a little bit now, Doyle, and tell us what's happening.
Well, right now, like I said, it's hunting season down here. And I'm getting a lot of, because, you know, I always publish my personal phone number on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell everybody that's in the Appalachian area of Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia, if they see something that needs to be looked at, just call me and I'll come. But I have had some health issues, and it's kind of hard for me to get out right now, but I'm getting better day by day.
Well, that's a good thing.
And I've also got my A team.
How are those boys doing, by the way?
They're doing great. I've got my two sons. One is actually getting ready to go to the Tennessee Highway Patrol Academy.
Oh, boy.
And the other one, who was accepted to Harvard, God help him. He's turning down Harvard to go to Eastern Kentucky University to study mm-hmm. criminal justice, and he wants to become a state trooper like his dad.
Wow.
And he's so much smarter and better than that.
Isn't that wonderful? That is great. Okay. Well, Rockstar, question. Rocky, you there?
I am here.
Okay, you sound like you're in a well. But nevertheless, do me a favor. Everybody's saying, can we play that same clip that we did about 40 minutes ago? It gives them a little wrench down their back. Why don't we go to commercial real quick?
Let's do that.
All right.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now.
Hard line.
He's moving to the right. He's moving to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives the Movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Okay, last question of the evening came in from a Bill Oyster. And the question's for you, Rocky, and you, Swede. Apparently, since I left early last week, I wasn't aware about this, but apparently they're talking about, can you end the show with a story about when you two guys went out and tried to find somebody that was missing, when the constables or cops couldn't find them, and you guys took it upon yourself. Can you come up and tell another story about that?
I think he's probably talking about the one friend of Robert. The police had looked for him forever, and when they couldn't find anything, they'll only search so many days before it starts getting too expensive. And if they don't find you by then, well, then they don't find it. But the Swede and the man's son went out, and they did a search of their own. And Robert, the Swede, spotted a plug of chewing tobacco. And they was on the road to finding him. And then a little ways past that, the boys were shining his flashlight around, and the Swede saw a glint. And he went to where the glint was, and he found the little boy sitting under a tree with his legs crossed, and his gun across his lap, and he had a heart attack and died. Me and the Swede went out to go with the search and rescue here in my home and in our town. They had searched for this old boy they give up after the 10 days, and he called me and asked the police to go out and do a little bit further search, and so he showed us where they stopped, and they had messed everything up so bad, so many tracks and stuff, that we could hardly find anything. But we got down deep in the woods, and pretty hard at me. Came up where he was. He hoisted me up on the side of this bluff, and just right over the edge of it was the old boy's Model 70 Winchester 30-06. And it had been thrown up there, but it had been thrown hard. Top was busted, scope was busted. And they've never found him. We got called on a couple of times by these old boys because, you know, we've known them for a long time, and they know that we're not going to cost the county, you know, we're not going to get into their budget anymore. So they call on us from time to time. But, my point is being, you know, everybody's real quick to, though the one that didn't get found, everybody said, oh, he's been murdered. And some said that, oh, there's something grabbing out there. And, you know, it's one of those things. Too many people jump to the conclusion. And they don't get down and look at the ground or not.
Well, it sounds like an interesting story. I probably missed a lot on it, but nevertheless, we're here talking about it tonight. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, where does the time go? It zips on by, doesn't it? Well, anyhow, get prepared because next week will be the day before Thanksgiving. And we're going to have a story on, does Bigfoot have Thanksgiving Day with their family? Thank you, Speed. Thank you, Doyle. Thank you, Father Ray. And, of course, my co-star. It would be nowhere without him. Kudos and salutations. Till next week, America. Bye-bye.
God bless America.
Bye, Doyle. Bye, Father Ray. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
See you
later, Rocky. Rocky.
Good night, everybody.
Let's all have an after the show conference if y'all don't care.
I gotta go to sleep, Doyle, but I'll hear about it. Y'all have a good one with that.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Sweet dreams and hope angels dance on your pillow tonight.
Good night.
Good night from New Mexico.
Good night, Father Ray.
Good night, Father Ray.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock.